They were reading it.
All right.
They began.
How many
to
love
send
this couple?
Friends, I have no idea.
Crowan and Isabel Skulason, glory to God. I want you to stretch forth your right hand. Ina, you're on fire tonight. The anointing is all over you. You did a great job, by the way. So you're going to pray. Go ahead. You're going to pray. I'll agree with you.
You're the papa of the house.
So, Father, we just thank you for this awesome couple, Lord. Power of the kingdom of God just flows through them, Lord. You're not letting any of their words drop to the ground. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that so many people are going to be touched. And they're going to take it. They're going to take the anointing that destroys the yoke. They're going to take it out of this building. They're going to spread it. We heard the word that a new spirit of evangelism is taking hold in this area, in this time. And Lord, these people are going to be that. They're going to be messengers of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, as they hear the words of God tonight. Amen.
I see swords in your hands. And then you've got swords in your hands because you're going to divide the word of the Lord from any other stuff out of people's lives. It's not going to be a part of your life
any
longer. So I thank you for the words that flow like a mighty river out of these two people because they are your vessels and you have filled them to overflowing in Jesus' name.
You see, faithful in little, I will put you in charge of more. Then we kept going, and I was watching that unfold. Then I got an email from the editor of an international magazine.
Thank you so much.
Who said, I
Thank
read
you for
this.
Treating us so
Would
well.
You write a 2,000 word here. Article for my magazine? I need it in
Isn't
10 days
good?
Because it has to be translated
Amen.
Into every language.
He is so kind. And
because
he is so
I want to put it in my next edition of the magazine that goes all over the planet. The prophecy was
alone.
Unfolding. The impossible was
Christ.
Happening.
And he just loves.
And I was
Spirit.
Not.
He just loves to come and heal us and touch us.
Stressed
and,
out of my mind.
Give us a fresh
See,
anointing and raise us
happen?
Up anew.
Faithful in little.
And his presence is
And faithful in the next level. In little, faithful in little in the next level. As it increases,
so
there's the little becomes bigger.
From him.
But you keep being faithful
Amen.
In little. And that
like
happened
last night,
over
my wife
and
is
over
be
and
speaking.
Over. Those magazines and the articles
husband.
Went all over the world being published and all over and in Canada.
You know, guys,
and then
you have to know when to be
the
quiet.
Books came, they got translated, they got written. The first book is in 9 languages, the 10th one is, tenth
okay.
one is in translation. And
yeah,
it's being
okay.
used in Bible schools and ministries.
Is there anyone
Jesus
in the room
said
who's
it
been
happen.
Battling
The prophecy said
headaches.
It won't happen. I have not made
Going
any of
even
those
down
things
to your
happen.
Ears.
God
and
has
it's been like a helmet on your head, and it's been like
it
a
there.
Hand on your
I
head that's
put you
been crushing
you more.
Anyone
second book, which is back there,
connecting to that.
Is the first translation has
okay.
happened. The second one is underway. The third
yeah.
book is coming out at the
yeah.
end of the year, and the fourth one
okay
is already starting to form. And the most amazing
Could
thing
you please
is,
stand up?
I love
those
writing.
Of you who raised your hands, please. Yes?
I absolutely
yes?
love writing. The gift that I didn't want, I didn't have, has become part of me.
Tonight
my
the Lord is going to touch
enlarged.
You and he's going to remove that headache. He's going to remove
see,
that pain. And he's going to remove,
expanded,
remove even
advanced,
some thoughts that you've been battling in your head.
Unto me.
So in the
and
name
you know,
of Jesus
I thought,
Christ, I speak
you know,
healing into your mind,
articles,
into your head.
And then a
but
because contacted
for
me
the power given
to
me,
say,
by the name of Jesus
say,
Christ, and the blood of Jesus,
website,
I command
I
the pain
blogs,
to leave now
to
in Jesus'
them
name.
In my
I command your ears to open.
I want those to be
I command
articles in my
every
magazine.
Soul,
thought,
every
wow,
cell in your body to be whole in Jesus' name. I command every demonic entity that's trying to come against you to leave now in Jesus' name. For the blood of Jesus, leave you.
Right
I decree freedom over
it's
you in Jesus' name.
Of these
in Jesus' name.
Because it is time to see it all
Thank
come
you guys.
To pass.
You may be seated.
God is doing it. There is
Thank
no
you.
Reason why you are not walking in the fulfillment or on the journey to the fulfillment
Anybody
of your prophecies.
Anybody been battling thoughts?
Seeing it unfold.
About suicide, taking their
you
lives.
See, imagine what will happen
that your
if
life is
you
not
start
living.
Now.
Nobody's seeing you.
Being
Nobody's
faithful in
little. You.
In every area God has spoken
yeah.
to you. In every gift that
Could
you have
please
received,
stand up if you want me to pray
it's up
for
to
you
to activate
you,
it, and God will empower it. you see, stewardship.
You know, there is no way I could know this
right now.
Only the Holy Spirit knows this.
And
He wants to touch you tonight because He has
heard
you. He has seen you. And He's seen your suffering and He's seen
and
He knows your thoughts.
And
it's not your thoughts. It's the thoughts the enemy has been trying to put in your mind.
But this is a requirement.
This is not you, and it has basically... You have done nothing wrong.
It's really easy.
Just to be clear in the beginning.
Because you're partnering with the one.
So I'm going to break this off you now in Jesus' name. And you're even going to have a peaceful rest and peaceful sleep.
I would still be waiting for something.
That's going to leave you as well. Night terrors are going to leave as well.
That prophecy would never come to pass. If I had
so in the name of Jesus Christ,
say,
I come against the spirit of suicide.
How
I command
I
you to leave
how
now in Jesus' name.
I
break off
I
you every suicidal thought in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak healing into your soul, into your body, into your spirit in Jesus' name. And I set you free from any attacks from the enemy in Jesus' name. I command every suicidal thought to leave you now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, and I set you free. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are free. You are free. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you.
In what God has told you.
Isn't Jesus beautiful?
It will not look, the beginning will never look like
He knows us better than we know ourselves.
But
and He loves us more than anyone could ever love us.
The kingdom of God is advancing right now.
Only Him. Only He.
There's a lot to be done.
Can do that.
And we need to dust off all our promises, all our prophecies.
And to be able to love Him.
I just heard the trumpet and I said that. And activate them.
And being able to spread His love to other people.
It's a lot of fun.
That's what it's all about.
It really is fun. A child can do it. It's easy. It's
easy. Even some of you have been battling. You have been finding it difficult to walk in life.
You know, because you will be a great preacher and you are not.
With Him in life.
That's fine. Start preaching to the hand.
Some of you have felt like you've been walking in mud.
But do something.
And it's been difficult to do what you feel and what you know.
God said you'll be in the media. Well, maybe get a blog and start.
Tonight He's going to set you free.
You don't know what God does. Faithful in little people.
From this day on, you will be walking like you were, like you were walking on air.
You will receive a basket, a multiplication. So please
so I speak freedom in Jesus' name. I speak freedom in Jesus' name. I speak freedom over this house. I speak freedom over everyone who's in this house now at this moment and everyone who is listening or seeing or hearing my voice.
And Father,
I speak freedom into your situations in Jesus' name. Even financial blessings are coming for some of you.
Father,
in Jesus' name, you've been praying for it. You've been asking God to bless you financially. You've been asking God to open up heaven over you and
your
financial difficulties. It's coming now in Jesus'
name.
In Jesus' name.
Living in human perspective.
In Jesus' name. I just saw heavens open over some of your homes. I saw houses here and heaven open above some houses and just blessings pouring down, pouring down, pouring down on your household, on your home, over your life.
The disappointments we have gone through.
Not only here, but also
God
in Texas.
Is not doing what He said.
For my friends from Texas, bless you guys.
Nothing is
happening. So glad to see you here.
So Father,
and all
right
of you,
now,
of course.
We just repent.
So now
God,
I'm going to try to be a better husband and keep my mouth shut and let my wife speak.
And tonight we want to reset our perspective. As citizens of heaven, Father, we choose to be people of heavenly perspective.
Holy Spirit,
so in Jesus' name right now, we come to the foot of the cross.
And that you're here with
because
us.
Repentance
and I thank you for your blessing, Lord. I thank you for
everything.
I thank you for your love, Lord, in Jesus' name.
So, Father, right now, we stand before you,
for
reset and release. It is time for release. I just saw horses running. Reset and release, Father. It is a day of freedom. It is a day of breakthrough. And God is fulfilling promises and prophecies are coming to pass. And He says,
I
days,
talk a lot.
Time has accelerated, people. There is no time to work, to waste.
This
and
is
there
for someone
is
here, I know.
A supernatural element of timing.
Proverbs
for
20,
the Lord says to you tonight, if you have been delayed, I am going to cut
steps.
You up.
So why
in
try
time.
To
you will be caught up in time. And you will be in the same place where you would have been if there had not been delays or wastefulness of time.
The
so
Lord,
God is going to supernaturally advance you if you're
so
willing to step
to
into stewardship and activation. So in Jesus' name right now, I just call you forth. I release you in the name of Jesus out of the deadly trap, the human perspective. And I call forth, I call every promise, every prophecy you have is stuck in that deadly trap. I call it out right now into freedom. I call it back to life and restoration out of the deadly trap of human perspective. In Jesus' name right now, and I call forth release and freedom, new life, new activation. It is a new beginning, and in this season, God is fulfilling everything. I promise you that. I know it. I'm seeing it. It is happening. And it is time. It is time. I said it yesterday. It is now, not tomorrow. We are in the now. God is empowering now. And now, in Jesus' name, I release an impartation through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is so strong in this place this week, or always, but so strong here.
For more,
I release an impartation right now for the gift of a stewardship upon every one of you right now. As it is, as Pastors Aina and Dave have it, and they function in it. But I release an impartation right now for every one of you who is hearing my voice, and those of you who have been functioning in the stewardship. I bless you to arise to the next level of a stewardship right now. I call you to the next level of a stewardship and to raise the stewards in the kingdom. To raise the stewardship in the house and in the kingdom at large right now. In the name of Jesus. And I release right now an impartation for the oneness, the unity, the freedom, and the power to walk with the one who has the Spirit without measure. I call freedom and release right now. And I ask you, Father, would you increase the power of your Spirit here? For it is your will to make it happen.
Lord, send help.
God's will to make this happen for every one of you today.
You know, so it's not just about prayer, it's about doing.
He's redeeming, he's restoring.
What can you do?
If you want the talents that you have buried, find them again.
There's so many times, remember, if you forget promises and you don't forget prophecies,
ask God to bring them back to remembrance. He will. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will remind you of
what there's nothing I can do.
Jesus said the Holy Spirit will remind you of
what that
I have
in
told
the story
you.
And the parable
the Holy Spirit
of
will remind
the,
you
a feeding of the 5,000 that you have buried.
When Jesus, so in Jesus' name right now, I speak to every buried talent in your lives. To come
and
up
we need
right
to
now,
respond to need.
Out of the ground,
instead of just
to come out
away
right now,
and say,
out
Lord,
of the ditches
them.
Of forgetfulness, we of need denial, or whatever, in whichever
said,
way
what
the enemy has stolen from you.
And
I call it forth into restoration right now,
so
in the name
of
Jesus,
and
I call life into it, for it is God's will to restore.
There was a need, and the disciples simply came and said to Jesus, send them away
in spite
to buy food.
Of circumstances that have happened that brought destruction,
and
I bless you right now to arise in Jesus' name. If you
do something,
and I break up all frustration.
And
I break up
Jesus
disappointments
knew.
That you have carried because of not understanding. I said not understanding
because
why God has done
plan.
Something or the process. You have
plan.
Not been able to trust
and
the process.
So
right
but
now
it is
in
the
Jesus
invitation.
Name, I call you back to freedom.
Do something.
This is a
will you
of
do
freedom.
Something?
God is releasing freedom
you
and
do
I call
it.
You to freedom right now.
And some,
in the holy name of our
but
Lord Jesus
to
Christ,
mindset,
it is a time of building and advancing.
When God is enlarging
no
our
more
territory,
delays.
In situations
people, no
of
more
need
delays.
And
I declare
hunger.
A shift in
and
the atmosphere right now
the
for no more delays. And in Jesus' name, with authority given to me, I call forth
those
an impartation of buried talents to be given to you.
And then God will invite someone
for
else.
You have been faithful in little.
And
as
so
a church,
you don't
have
the disciples, the response of the disciples
and you qualify
immediately
God to receive the talents that many have
said,
buried.
But we don't
not
have
only in
the
city, not only in this nation,
what
but God
mean,
is going
though,
to give you talents
that
all the, in
it.
Other nations and continents.
And the second thing they
you're
said,
going to collect
well,
them and you will redistribute talents in the kingdom. You will put mantles on people. You will release gifts and anointings. You will declare and it will come to pass. You will be atmosphere shifters. Change is going to come because of you. God will send you like loaded camels that will come from afar to other lands, and other lands may be the next village next to you, or the next small town, or other parts of the world. But the Lord is going to send you out loaded to give. For the Lord says, this is a storehouse for the kingdom, and this church is a storehouse for the kingdom of God. And the Lord is coming to fill this storehouse and out of here to the nations. And the more you release, the more God will increase. For the Lord says to you today, this is the season of the fattened cows. You have been through the testing of justice. And so, what is it? And so, Jesus didn't address those two things. He didn't, you know, pat them and go into the pity party of poor you. Yes, you have nothing, I know. And yes, I know how much it will cost you. He ignored it completely. And he said, what do you have? Tell me what's available. What do you have? You see, and we know about the fish and the bread that the little boy had. When they said, you know, this is what we have, this is all there is, nothing and insignificant. Jesus said, and this is the key, give it to me. Yes. In your hands, what you have is very little. But in his hand, it becomes a miracle. You see, and this is the time for that. We have to get rid of the reasons why we cannot do it. Just, it has to go. Maybe you don't have the energy. Well, how much energy you have? For 5 minutes, give it to him and see what how he multiplies it. What do you have? And, you know, in John 3:34, a scripture tells us that the one that God said, meaning Jesus, to him, God gave the Spirit without measure. And here's the thing today, people. God is inviting us to participate of the Spirit without measure. And that is an impartation for tonight. The Spirit without measure. What would you do with the Spirit without measure? You see, we all have measures of the Holy Spirit, and that's where the limitation comes. Because we know it goes this far. We know it goes to praying for a goldfish to get healed, but not to pray for a crowd of people to receive healing. You see? And so this is the measure, this is the measure, this is the measure. Well, I don't have that measure. I don't have. Well, you don't, and we grow, measure, the Holy Spirit grows, of course. We get more measures of the Holy Spirit, and enlargement comes by participating. But the good news is, we don't have the Spirit without measure ourselves, but Jesus in you does. Jesus in you does. To him, God gave the Spirit without measure. You have Jesus. Because of Jesus, we have access to the Spirit without measure. Hallelujah. You see, so we just have to align with him. Imagine the Spirit without measure is the Spirit, is the one that moved in the revival of the book of Acts. It was a Spirit without measure. It was a revival without boundaries. There was no limitations. The dead came to life. The sick and healed. Provision was so much that they had to tell people to stop giving. You know, unity was everywhere. Salvation's everywhere. The kingdom was advancing. God was adding people to the church. The Spirit without measure. And the Lord wants to give you, and I'm talking to you as a church today, and anyone who, if you are not from this church, but you are here tonight, this is for you too. If you are hearing my voice, this is for you. But it is the Spirit without measure. So it's expansion. You see, they gave Jesus the fish and the bread. And there was baskets left over. You know, there's the one with the Spirit without measure. What can he do if you give him your little gift? If you give him your little coins, if you give him your little time, if you give him your, you know, your possessions and say, here they are, this is all I have. And I promise you, he's good. I am sure the disciples and the little boy took some of those baskets home. You see, and the little boy who gave his lunch, I can assure you, he took a basket home as a reward. And I can assure you, this is not, the Bible doesn't say that, but knowing Jesus, the Jesus I know, I'm sure that basket never ran empty. Amen. And took care of his family forever. Yes. You see, because this is our God. It is just partnering, joining in with the one with the Spirit without measure. So we need to get that out of the way. You have limitations, he doesn't. So, don't ask him to anoint you. Ask him to make you fit to partner with him. To help him to carry the basket. You know, to make you fit to carry his basket and be his helper. Instead of anointing my gift, anoint me today. You are with the one who doesn't need anointing. He is it. And the Spirit without measure walks among us. Today, we just need to participate and release it. Imagine what will happen as that Spirit without measure manifests in this house. Yes. What will happen to this city? What will happen to this country? What will happen to the world if we dare believe that the Spirit without measure is among us? You see, and that's our invitation. So understanding that, I want to talk a little bit about the increase and multiplication of the kingdom. Because God is enlarging, multiplying, and giving. But this is a kingdom of investments and dividends. Yes. And that is what the Bible tells us. Investments and dividends. And for that we see one of the ways that God enlarges, another main way God enlarges our territory is through prophecy. There's enlargement, additions, expansion. God adds unto us things that we didn't have before because the Lord is very careful. He is an investor. So, and the Bible tells us that those who bury the talent, you know, the Lord will give those talents to others, to those who invest them. So there is a redistribution happening in the kingdom of God every day, for God is searching for those who are willing to invest. And we need, the second impartation that I have for you today is the gift of a stewardship. A release of the gift of a stewardship. I know your pastors are stewards in the kingdom, you know, but we need to all be stewards. And a stewardship is, you know, learning to be managers. How to manage your life, how to manage your time, how to manage your thoughts, how to manage your heart, how to manage the Word of God, how to manage finances, how to manage relationships, how to manage your health, how to manage everything. We have to be managers in the kingdom because that is currency in heaven. Yes. There are some things that are currency. Faith is currency. Obedience is currency. Stewardship is currency. It unlocks and releases. But the lack of it closes and locks doors. You see, we don't want locked doors, we want open doors. It is God's will to open every door for us. But the stewardship is a major key. It is currency in this kingdom of investments and dividends. So expansion and enlargement, we have to have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to understand that there is so much more than being encouraged when we receive a prophetic word. It is so packed with all kinds of things that we need to understand. And one of those things is learning to steward the words that come out of God's mouth. He's investing them into you. And they have power because the Word of God is alive. So in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25:14-13, we read the story. We know it. We have heard it 1,000 times. But so I'm going to paraphrase it to make points. But in there we have this master that has everything. He's powerful. He has servants. He's mighty. He's rich. He has, you know, properties. He has everything. And so, but he's also generous. He shares his wealth. You see, our Father is sharing his kingdom. Luke 12:32, Jesus said, "Don't worry, little ones, because it is my Father's greatest joy and delight to give you the fullness of his kingdom." Everything he has. You see, that is his heart. His heart is to give and to release and to increase. So because that is his character, we know his actions flow out of that. And so the master came to his servants to share what he had. To one he gave 5 talents, the other 2 talents, the other 1 talent. Just like he gives to us, different measures, different gifts, different things he's sharing in his kingdom. But it doesn't mean it stops there. We know that. There is always more, because that is who he is. So, but he gives us that. He went away. And that is the amazing thing here for me. He gave them the talents, and then he went away. And let them be, let them give them space to see what they would do with it. That is because God gave us free will. He gave you free will to choose what to do with those talents. He is not there breathing down your neck and saying, you have to. He wants to. He's sharing his kingdom with you, his possibilities, his abilities, his resources, and the fullness of everything he has. But he gave us free will. So he steps back to see what will you do. And that is where stewardship is pivotal. That's what we have to activate, the stewardship. It's immediately. It's not one day. See, most of the people have the mindset, well, we will see one day. We will see what God does. We'll see what God does with this. That is not stewardship. You see, and so nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to come out of it. And so he stepped back. He gave them time. And then he came back after a while to settle accounts. I love that. I love the fact that he comes to settle accounts. But one of the problems we have is misunderstanding. You know, God is the most misunderstood person that exists in the whole universe. No one is more rejected and more criticized, more judged and misunderstood than he is. And he's scrutinized day and night by his own people. Forget about the world. We can expect that, but his own children. He is. And he's so misunderstood. And so, you see, we see when the master came back, when we see there is something we're dealing with that really we have to get rid of, and this is so important because, again, we need to advance, and this are the stumbling stones we're dealing with. Is human perspective. Yes. You know, it is natural for us to have human perspective. We're human, and we grew up in the world of men. We're here in the world, and there is human perspective. We were raised with it. We function with it on earth, but we're citizens of heaven, where there is a different perspective, a heavenly perspective. We have to learn heavenly perspective. That's what the Bible means when it says renew your minds daily. Yes. It's acquire heavenly perspective. It's really important. We have to have heavenly perspective. If we don't have a heavenly perspective, we will not get anywhere. You can have a gazillion of prophecies. You can have anything you want and gifts galore. Nothing is going to happen. You need heavenly perspective. See, there's so much waste in the kingdom of God. Really, it's wastefulness everywhere of resources because we are not managing. So, heavenly perspective. We find that in Matthew 16. and 23, when Jesus is talking to the disciples one day, and he is telling them what is going to happen to him when he gets to Jerusalem, and it doesn't sound good. He's telling them that he's going to be arrested, beaten, tortured, killed, imprisoned, and killed. Well, that spoils all their plans, doesn't it? It's completely. He's telling them, these 12 men have plans. Jesus is going to take over, have a revolution, establish their kingdom, kick out the Romans and everybody else. They had a plan. Just like you have a plan when you get a prophecy from God, you make a plan right away. And you know, and you want God to follow your plan because it works. In your mind, it works. And so, you know, I was a pastor for 25 years. And I have been in leadership and all of that for over 40 years. So I know a few things about, you know, leaders' meetings and pastors' meetings and all of that. We make plans. And you see, and then God comes and spoils them. It's really difficult when he does that, because to us our plan makes perfect sense. If God only does these things, get the memo, if God gets the memo and follows it, we're fine. What he wants gets done and everything is good. So there they were, the disciples, and they had a plan. And then Jesus is giving them news that spoil everything. If Jesus dies, then now what? What about my prophecy? What about my plan? What about my calling? What about my journey? What about it? Because it messes up with how you figured this, how your plan you made. And so as they're going through this, there is dear Peter. I like Peter so much because he put his foot in his mouth all the time. And he made mistakes. I love that. He was so confident in his relationship with Jesus that he was real. And he was not afraid. He was not pretending. He was not pretending. If there is someone who was not trying to be spiritual, it's Peter. He wasn't trying to be spiritual. He was just real. That speaks volumes to me of the relationship they had. It was so real that he knew Jesus, he was loved and accepted. That's the model, the ultimate model of leadership. The leadership Jesus modeled, that Peter was free, he felt free to be real and even make a mistake because he knew that he was safe. Jesus was a safe leader for those that worked with him and followed him. And so he, you know, heard the news. They all heard the news. In my mind, this is just me talking. In my mind, I sometimes figure out, try to fill the blanks. And in my filling of the blanks, I figured the disciples probably heard this, got huddled, and said, what's going to happen now? And they talked about it and said, Peter, you go talk to him. This is my feeling of the blanks as to how Peter got there. And so, because you know, this is Peter. See, a little while before, there's Peter too. And they're with the disciples. And Jesus is saying to them, now, who do they say I am? They said. And who do you say I am? They began to say a few things. Peter, of all people, heard the voice of God. Heard the Father. And he says it. And Jesus says, way to go, you got it. You heard God. Wow. And I'm sure the other ones were looking. Peter was saying, I heard God. And prophetic people. And so he is there and says, way to go, Peter. Because this was not revealed to you by blood and flesh and blood, but by God. And, you know, and we know, you know, and based on this truth, and I'll build my church on this rock and the truth and all of that. I'm sure Peter felt like a million bucks, more spiritual than the rest. He made it. He got it. I mean, he impressed Jesus. That was great. So now, fast forward to this conversation, and there comes Peter again to save the day. I think it's hilarious because the other day he heard God, he got the right answer, he, you know, so now he comes to save the day. I've got a plan, I know how to fix this. So he takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. He rebukes him. That tells me friendship. Friendship. Jesus didn't have entitlement or superiority, even though he was fully God and fully man. He walked in humility and friendship. He brought people to his level as a man. And not as God, but as a man. And so, again, trust, relationship, friendship. And he says to him, you know, he rebukes him, and he says to him, come on. This is my version of the Bible. It's not been written yet, but, you know. And he says, come on, Jesus. You can't do that. We can fix this. It's very simple. Just don't go there. You know? It says, you know, heaven forbid this happens to you and yada, yada. You know, where the Bible reads. But this is my version, like I said. You know? I says, don't go there. I mean, if you know already what's going to happen, that's going to spoil everything here. So don't go. We can go to the rest of Jerusalem. We can minister everywhere else. Skip that one. The danger is there. Don't go there. It solves everything, right? It's perfect. We carry with our plan. We take over. Nothing, no problem. You know how many times I've tried to save my plan for my prophecies, my plan for God's promises, because it starts to change and I begin to fight to save my plan the way it's going to happen. And so that's what Peter was doing. And so remember, he heard God before. He got it right. He was the hero of the hour. And now, why not? Of course, this got it. This is brilliant. We can fix it. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Yeah. Imagine the blow he got, poor Peter. You know, but the amazing thing to me is this is the thing. God is looking for real people. Oh, yes. People who are not pretending, people of relationship. And because of that, Peter made a few mistakes. It wasn't just the biggie one when he denied him. There was this one, he rebuked him. There was a time when he wasn't going to let him wash his feet to try to stop him. You know, like, this is Peter. But when you are real, God knows he can trust you. He knows he can trust you if you're real with him, because that means you know him enough that you can trust him like that. And Peter, out of all the disciples, was the one who spearheaded the whole revival of the book of Acts. Yeah. That's trust from God. And so, the one who made mistakes. So here we are. And now Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. As we know, he was not calling Peter Satan. He was rebuking the source of the revelation. The source of the idea. Just because you heard God right here doesn't mean you are always hearing God right. And we have to discern the source of our ideas, our revelations, because the fact that they make sense to you and me doesn't mean it is God's plan. And in this case, it was the devil's plan to stop the work of the cross. You see, appealing on Jesus' humanity. And so Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan, because you are a deadly trap to me. One version says, you are a deadly trap to me. Another version says, you are a stumbling block to me. He said, because you process everything through human perspective, not through heavenly perspective. And that, my friends, is where we are stuck, keep stumbling, and why we are not advancing as we need to be advancing, human perspective. Another version, Jesus said, because you are a stumbling block to me, because you process everything according to man's point of view, not to God's point of view. According to another version says, according to what makes sense to man, not what makes sense to God. See, human perspective is what makes sense to man. heavenly perspective is what makes sense to God. So this is where we get stuck. We have to learn to get his thinking and to get heavenly perspective so we can process everything through heavenly perspective. And we don't get stuck, imagine. And Jesus said that very thing, human perspective, is a deadly trap. We all deal with it. And it is destroying, and the devil uses it to steal, kill, and destroy. It's human perspective. Human perspective is what causes drifts. Human perspective causes divorces. Human perspective causes people to walk away from God, from the kingdom, even to give up their salvation in some cases. Human perspective causes people to give up on God's blessings, to sabotage what God has for them. It is the biggest problem we have, and it is natural to us. We have to be discerning of what perspective we're functioning in. Because through human perspective, what Jesus was saying was the worst news ever. It was going to spoil everything. Through heavenly perspective, it was the most amazing thing, the most glorious thing, the thing that made it work. You see, a completely different point of view. And that's what we need to get. So we align ourselves with God and advance, and God's plans come to pass, and all your prophecies and dreams and everything, promises will come to pass quickly. Or most of the delays we deal with are self-inflicted. We blame the devil, but we give him, we make too much credit and make him too famous. A lot of it is just you and me making wrong decisions and not understanding, because human perspective is the need to understand. Is the need to understand why. Human perspective says, if I understand you, then I can trust you, and then I will believe you. That's human perspective. If I don't understand you, I cannot trust you. Therefore, I won't believe what you are telling me. We apply that to God, and then we wonder why we don't have faith. The faith that we need, why faith is so weak. You see, because we demand the same thing through human perspective. If you make me understand the need of God, explain to me, make me understand, then I will trust you if I understand. But faith doesn't work that way. Heavenly perspective doesn't require understanding. It's not about understanding at all. It's about trusting him because of who he is. Because he said it, because he's good, because we know him. That's why relationship is so seriously important. Yeah. If you know his heart, you will not misunderstand him. You may not like when he allows the process of the journey, but you will be safe. You will not misunderstand him. You will not judge him. You will be okay. You know, because you know, if you know his heart, you know his motivation. His motivation is good, and you can trust him. Yes. And that's where we need to invest tremendously here in heavenly perspective. So heavenly perspective, you know, doesn't need to understand why. As long as the word why is important to you, you are functioning out of human perspective. You see, and we need to make choices here. Which side are we on? Human perspective or heavenly perspective? And you see, there is a part that we have the need. We actually have the need to understand, and we have the need to explain God to people so we don't look bad. So people question us, and why is this happening? We want to have answers and explanations because we don't want to look foolish. What's human perspective? And so heavenly perspective is, I don't know, but he knows. I have no idea. Abraham functioned that way. He had no idea. He looked like a fool to many when he got everybody and everything and went off not knowing where he was going to end and what the journey would be like. And so heavenly perspective, but we have the need. We have the human need to understand. So we feel safe. We think that if we understand, we are safe. And that is the deadly trap, because faith, that's the deadly trap of faith. Because faith doesn't need understanding. It's the choice to believe him, that he's good and he is going to get us there. And that what he says is true and he doesn't lie. But in there, so we have that. So the human, the heavenly perspective for you need, your need to understand, when you feel the need to understand, the antidote to that is Isaiah 55. So go there, think about it, and stop it. Isaiah 55, for it says, "For my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Therefore, even if I explain..." This is my version I'm adding. This is from me, not in the Bible. "But therefore, if I explain it to you..." Whoosh. "It will go over your head and it will cause 1,000 more questions." You know, if God explained to you what he's doing, it is so way up there that you will be speechless for a moment and then you come back with 1,000 more questions about what he just said because you can't understand it. He's saying we are incapable of understanding his reasoning. Therefore, stop it. Stop asking why. You know, it's like when you have a four-year-old. Doesn't want, you know, 4-year-olds ask an average of 437 questions a day. That's what the studies show. I know. Mothers go crazy. One more question, one more why, and I'm going to explode. You know, and yes, they do everything because they're learning, right? They're seeking understanding and developing concepts. So we are acting the same way. So you have this 4-year-old that has, you need him to brush his teeth. And you are telling him, brush your teeth. You have to brush your teeth, the battle of the teeth. You know, every day, brush your teeth. But why? But why? If it makes sense to me, I will do it. I will obey and do it. But if it doesn't make sense to me, obeying is not that big. It's the same thing with God. If it doesn't make sense to me, why will I obey it? You see where we get stuck in this human perspective thing. So you are looking at him, and it's Isaiah 55 in its fullness. You are standing there thinking, how do I make this child understand gum disease? You can't. They don't have the concept or the ability. It's way over their head, beyond our pay grade. And there he is. And you're looking at this child who's saying, but why, holding the toothbrush. And you are thinking about dentist bills. If he doesn't brush his teeth, you have to pay dentist bills and all kinds of things. And then gum disease and then rotten teeth. And the story goes on and can end up in heart conditions. How do you explain that to a 4-year-old? It's impossible. They have no ability for you. Thinking is up here, your knowledge is up here, theirs is down there. That's what Isaiah 55 is saying. Yeah. So you step into sovereignty. It only goes till about 9 or 10 years old, maybe less now. But you step into sovereignty and you simply say, because I said so. Yeah. That's it. I know what I'm doing, just do it, because I know why you have to do it. You see, so heavenly perspective is like that. Can't understand, so don't ask. Just trust and do. That's how it works. Heavenly perspective is so much easier, yeah, if you don't need to understand. But so this is what happens in our journey where we are stuck right now and we are tripping constantly because of this. So now let's go back to the master that came to settle accounts. So he came back to settle accounts with his servants. And the thing is, when we hear that, there's so much we hear about God that we don't like because of we interpret it through human perspective. And that is one of those. We think, you know, settling accounts through human perspective, you are going to be in trouble. That's what you expect. You're going to be in trouble from your boss, or your teacher, or the principal, or whoever it is. They're coming to find what's wrong with you, and you will be in trouble, what you have done wrong. And it's not good. Nobody wants anybody to come to settle accounts with you. Human perspective. From heavenly perspective, it is awesome. God is coming to settle accounts, and he is already. I have seen him walking among his people, you know, settling accounts. And that is a wonderful thing. When God comes to settle accounts from heavenly perspective, that means he is going to give you more. The master came to settle accounts because he was going to give them more. Because his heart and intention is not to take away, it's to increase. The Bible says he takes us from glory to glory. Yes. From upgrade to upgrade. From more to more. That is our God, that is his heart. So we need to understand that's who he is. Therefore, heavenly perspective is, that's the filter. He wants to bless me. He wants to increase. He wants to enlarge. He's settling accounts to give me more, to give us more. And that's a wonderful thing. So he was settling accounts. What have you done with what I gave to you? What have you done with what I told you 10 years ago? Whether he spoke it to you personally or spoke it to you through prophecy. Because he wants dividends. He's not a wasteful investor. He is very careful with his investments. So what have you done? And that is the problem where stewardship is lacking. What have you done? People, the kingdom of God is not a kingdom of sitting and waiting. It's a kingdom of action and advancement. It's action and advancement. Stewardship means God speaks and we act. We don't sit there and wait 10 years unless there is an issue of timing, and God will make that clear. You know, but most of the time, it's not about so much about the timing. We just make it the timing. Well, it's not the timing yet. Many times that means it's not convenient for me yet. That's what that means. So, it is action, people. Now is the time of action, not waiting anymore. There is absolutely not reason to wait anymore. The kingdom is advancing now. We have to change the mindset from Moses, one day we will get there, to Joshua, who said, let's get in now. Yes. Now. Joshua and Caleb said, now we are doing it. Let's do it. That is the time we are in. So, what have you done with what God has said to you? And that is what he is asking, so he can give you more. So, we go to them, the one who gave him 5, the other one who gave him 2, and the one who gave him 1. I want to start with the number 3 guy. And you know, the one who buried the talent. And in there we see it is so sad because this is the number one reason why people bury talents. Because they don't trust God. Right. And he said to him, well, here's the talent you gave me, shiny and clean and beautiful. As you gave it to me, I'm giving back to you. I kept it safe because I was afraid of you, because I don't trust you, because I know you. And you are an angry man, and you are a harsh man, and you come and you collect where you didn't work, and you harvest where you didn't plow, and you didn't labor, and you come. And you see, that servant had seen his actions and behavior, but didn't know him. And you see, that is sadly the condition of most people in the kingdom of God. Fixing their eyes on what God does or doesn't do. And they form a relationship with that. He didn't answer this prayer, so he's not good, he's not kind, he doesn't love me, I can't trust you. He let my fish, you know, fall into the toilet, and my iPhone fell in the toilet and it's gone. You know, God knew I can't afford a new one. He could have stopped it. You know, we have all kinds of things. When God allows us to go through the valley of weeping or to go through a fire furnace, or to go through a hard time in our lives, and it is then... It doesn't appear to be a good thing. It seems to be a bad decision. But God knows what he's doing. And so we want the story of the fourth man in the furnace. Well, you got to get into the furnace, people, to have that story to tell. And so, but we don't want that. And so there we are, and he is afraid. And we formed this relationship with it, and we become afraid like that servant because we judge him according to what his actions, his behavior. But the thing is, God doesn't have to explain when he does. We don't need to understand it. We can't understand it. Then we judge him and misunderstand him. So we get angry with him. We don't trust him anymore. We don't come to church to punish him. You know, and do all kinds of things like that because we misunderstand him, because that simply means you don't know his heart. You don't have a relationship with the heart of this God. If he gave his son for you, won't he give you with him everything? You see that no matter what you are going through, at the end, it will be good for you. The one who turns your ashes into beauty, yes, and turns the plans that the devil has to harm you into good. You see that his intention is good, even if sometimes his actions don't appear to be. But it is very easy for us to bury talents because of that. God says do this. He calls you to do that. He gives you gifts and impartations, but you are afraid of making a mistake. He said, I didn't want to lose it. I wanted to keep it safe for you, so here it is. So I didn't do anything with it. That is the number one reason why people bury their talents. And God speaks and calls and gives, and you bury it. What if I blow it? You're afraid of being in trouble with God. If you blow it, you see, people, making mistakes is not a problem at all. God already knew. He numbered the mistakes you were going to make. You know, that is not an issue. If making mistakes was a problem, I wouldn't be here. I can write books on my mistakes and encyclopedias. Here's the thing. If you're going to make mistakes, which you will, make sure you make them in love. Make sure the reason is love. You're doing it because you are obeying him, because you are trusting him, because you love him, and you are doing it with the best heart. If you are doing them because of wrong reasons, like ambition or pride or negativity or wrong attitudes, then that's a different story. You get yourself in trouble. But God is not looking to punish anybody. We're his children. He will discipline us to teach us, but not punishment. Discipline is love. It's out of love. It feels like punishment from human perspective. From heavenly perspective, it's the greatest love of all. Our Father protecting us and making us grow. You know, but it's this fear of that. But, you know, so we bury the talent, and you don't do anything. What? I don't know how to do this. God said do it. The prophecy said this. God has called me to do. He told me to do this, but what if I blow it? You see, if you make those mistakes in love, you are safe, and God will turn them into good around and teach you. You will learn, and you will grow. This is the God I know. You see, by the fact that you are doing it, that you are making mistakes in doing it, that means you trust him, you're obeying him, you're doing it for him because he asked you to do it, and it will make him happy that you do it. That's why we obey God. It's because of love. For him, it's love. That when obedience means you trust and you love the person. At work, you love your paycheck. You know, but... You know, it's because we love him. That's what God wants. That's why he says obedience is better than sacrifice, because obedience means I trust you and I will do it because it makes you happy. I'll do it for you. That's obedience from heavenly perspective. You see, so that's number three. And we're going to talk a little bit about different ways, very quickly, of bearing, how we are bearing every day. And I will illustrate it with one of my favorite stories because I lived it. You see, but now he goes to, let's go to servant one and servant two. Now from human perspective, we think, okay, well, yeah, the guy, the first one, of course. He gave him 10 back. Of course God is going to be impressed. Look at the gift that one has. Look at the ministry. Look how they've flow, look how they teach, look how they preach and do things, you know, of course God is going to bless them and be pleased with them, look how amazing they are. Then look at me, 2 little talents, you know, here I am and all I do, you know, is play my little guitar once a month and, you know, and sometimes pray one prayer in the prayer meeting. And maybe I'm just in the nursery changing diapers and trying to entertain these little kids, you know, but nobody cares. I have nothing to show for. I don't have anything impressive. We think God is looking to be impressed with results. God doesn't care about results. He wants action based on obedience because of love and trust. You see, when we see this from heavenly this is what heavenly perspective teaches us. That God made not, Jesus, in the master made no difference between the guy who gave him 10 talents and the guy who gave him 4. At all. All he saw was, they did it. Yeah. They both did it. They did something about it. That is what he wanted. That's it, not how much he got back. Is that they did it. And that is what God wants from us. Yes. It's not, I can promise you, based on that scripture, you will receive the same reward as Billy Graham. I mean, crowns and all of those things. I don't know how that works. But you will receive the same approval. The same approval as Billy Graham received. Or the Catherine Kuhlman's received. Even though you will never be, in the human perspective, as amazing as they are. Because God sees things differently. So he said to the first guy, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you were faithful in little. He didn't say, because you gave me 10 back. Look how much you gave me back. He never said that. Right. You were faithful in little. Now I will put you in charge of more. Come in and celebrate with me. Come, let's celebrate together. He said the same thing to the guy who gave him 4 talents. No difference. Same approval, same acceptance. You were faithful because you were faithful. Well done, because you were faithful in little. Now, I will put you in charge of more. Let's come in and celebrate. Let's celebrate together. This is heavenly perspective. This is what God is looking for. And a long time ago, all throughout my life, I have to be honest, I have received so many prophecies, all tons of prophecies. I can maybe count 2 that I actually liked. I can't pay people to prophesy what I want to hear. You see, I'm sure I could find fake prophets, but the real ones, no. And I get prophecies and negative prophecies, and then I've never liked them. But they have all come to pass. You see, because stewardship has nothing to do with you liking it or not. And many times you bury the talent because you don't like it. It doesn't make sense to me what God said. If it were God, he would know. He wouldn't say that. So you bury it. You see how easy it is to bury talents? And then you wonder why nothing is happening. And so, one time, Ivan and I, you know, it was over about 20 years ago, maybe, or so longer, we were at the meeting, and this prophet guy, who we trust, and we know, and he was giving, prophesying over people, most of them from our church, and you know, and he was going to prophesy over us. I had high hopes that we might get a nice one, you know. And so he was prophesying, and it was awesome, and he came to prophesy over us. And he started prophesying one of the most horrible prophecies I have ever heard in my life. And he was saying it in front of our church. And I had taught these people about the stewardship and all of that, and they're hearing this. And he started saying, you're going to write. And you will write, and people will read and write and read and write and read. Those two words kept coming up. And he said, and you will write so much that people will publish what you write, and you will write articles, and they will go, and they will be published first in local magazines, then national magazines, then they will be published in international magazines that will go all will be translated in every language and will circulate the planet. And books and books and books, and he kept going, and he was elaborating. And I am looking at this man, and I looked, Ivan's face was just like, really? He's looking at me. And I thought, I have to do something. I need to stop this man somehow. And I'm standing there thinking, you know, I'm not happy. You know, I'm Latina. I can talk with many, many ways, many languages. So I made a face. I folded my arms. I stared, the most intimidating look I could come up with. I gave it to this man in the middle of the prophecy. And I'm staring him down like, abort here, you know. No, stop it. Because neither one of us wanted that. Neither one of us had intentions of ever doing that. And I am thinking, yes, 1 Timothy 4:14 says, do not neglect the gift imparted into you through the prophecy spoken over you. You see, and I was aware of the fact of, yes, this prophecy doesn't fit the bill, doesn't fit. Like, and that is another reason why you bury talents. It doesn't fit, that's not me. So they missed it here, they missed it here, they missed it here, because it's not me. It's not us. We don't do this. We don't like it. It's nothing else. Don't have the gift. Sorry. We bury it. But Paul told Timothy, you didn't have it, but when the prophecy is given to you, the gift is imparted into you. Right. So now you have the gift. Gift yourself wholeheartedly to it. Stewardship. Manage that gift. Do something. Activate the gift. Activate the prophecy. Activate it. That's what is activate that. So all these scriptures are running through my head. And I am thinking, if I manage to stop this man from finishing the prophecy, maybe the gift is halfway in. We can pull it out. Didn't make it all the way through, so I don't have it yet. It was happening, but it didn't happen. So I was trying to stop him from finishing the prophecy so the gift wouldn't make it through. I know it's very sad, pathetic, but that's what I was doing. But God bless that man of God. He was not intimidated. I couldn't intimidate him. I tried the best I could do. I tell you, I could come up with a look that would intimidate the devil. And this man, I couldn't. And so he finished. And he elaborated all kinds of things. And You have no idea the amount of thoughts running through my head. It doesn't fit. We don't want it. We don't like it. You just messed up our plans. You know, I don't know how to do this. You bury talents because of that. How do I do it? I don't know how, so I bury it. It's overwhelming. Bury it. Who's going to help me? Bury it. You know, let's wait and see what God does. That means you're burying it. You have no. If you have that attitude, that means put it aside and carry on. You know, stewardship is not like that. So I'm standing there, listen to this. The man, of course, he knew we didn't like it. He just grinned and walked away. You know, the big grin of, I got you kind of thing. Walked away. Everybody's clapping. And Ivan and I are looking at each other, and Ivan's about to freak out, bless him. And I said to him, he said to me, you do it. You do it. You have to do that. If we're doing this, you do it. And I said to him, no, I can't do it. And it comes down to God. See, God was enlarging our territory, adding portions that we didn't have. But he's adding them. That's what the kingdom of God is. That's advancement, an enlargement. He's adding it as brand new. God never said that to me before. That's brand new news, so you bury it. Until I get, you know, 15 confirmations upside down and 15 more the other way around, I am burying it until then. And so I said to Ivan, well, no, I can't do it because English is my second language. I can write in this language. I just can't do it. You know, I have a language handicap. So I'm off the hook, bury it, you do it, your language. He said, nope, not going to work. I'm a formy dyslexic. And yes, God healed me from dyslexia, but he never gave me the periods and the commas. So I have no idea where to put them. It was true. He would write a letter, and it was one long paragraph. He would give it to me to break it down and put the commas. And he said, so I don't have that. You cannot write if you cannot do that. You know, we were about to draw straws as to who's going to be take this burden because nobody wanted it. And so I said to him, well, you know, here's the thing. Let me check one thing. There's still one more hope. Let me talk to God because I know the word is right. I know it and I know it. Maybe the address is wrong. Maybe it was meant for the fellow next to us. And the guy kind of missed it. Amazon does that, right? Amazon delivers the packaging another door. It was for you, but the neighbor got it. So I thought, maybe, you know, it was for someone else. We were the last ones. The guy's tired and, you know. So I checked with the Lord, and he said, no, dear, the address is right, too. I said to Ivan, just freak out, and then let's talk. Because, yes, the address is right. We are stuck. And now with this prophecy. So I began to talk to the Holy Spirit. Because when you look at it and you look at the prophecy as a whole, many times it doesn't make sense. And it is overwhelming, too big for you, too great to be true. It's easier to bury it than to deal with it. And so you don't do anything. But I knew this. And I went back to get a heavenly perspective. I thought, I need to take this prophecy through human perspective. I want to scrap the whole thing and tell God, let's skip this one. Next, please. Something else. Let's give us something else. Give this one to someone else and give us something that someone else doesn't want. And so, but heavenly, I need a heavenly perspective before making decisions. So I came to the Lord and I said, okay, Holy Spirit, I need heavenly perspective here because human perspective is terrible. How? Through human perspective, how do I process that prophecy? You're going to be published by local magazines, national magazines, international magazines. Nobody knows our names. Evan and I are looking at each other like, how do people publish some nobodies? Like, this is us. Nobody knows us. We have nothing to write that's worth reading. Neither one of us knows how to write, as in publishing writing, book writing, or law article writing. And we don't have anything useful to say, like, really. So how do you get published by magazines? And so all I figured was you had to bribe somebody, you know, for this, because there is no other way this can possibly happen. So, heavenly perspective. And I found heavenly perspective in Matthew 25. This scripture gave me heavenly perspective. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit highlighted it to me. Heavenly perspective is the key words in there where the Master said, you have been faithful in little. In little. This is the great news. Little. That's it. That is the key that unlocks this. Faithful in little. Every one of us is capable of little. There is little in us. We can do little. So be faithful in little is all the Master is asking. Forget about the mountaintop. Forget about the magazines and the people and all of that. Faithful in little. So I came and I said to Ivan, I've got it. We got heavenly perspective here. Faithful in little. That's all God is asking. So let's put everything aside and let's bring it down to bite size. And I said to him, especially because we didn't like it, I said to him, all we have to do is find the teeniest, tiniest, smallest bit, the teeniest thing we can do about it to be faithful in little. That's all we have to do. That's all our job. That's it. Forget about all of that. Today, this is what we have to do. What is that? The smallest, tiniest thing. We're capable of doing the tiniest, smallest thing to be faithful, activating it and stewarding, because the stewardship means now we do something about it. So I went back to the prophecy. I listened to it several times until I found, I kept looking for, okay, how do we bring this? Two keywords, write and read. You will write, people will read. You will write, people will read. So that became the bite size to start. And I said to Ivan, this is very easy to do. We can do this because we are two. So I will write one line and you read it. Write and read. Write and read. I will write one line a week of something. It doesn't have to make sense. I will just write a line. You read it. Then you write a line. I read it. Around for a few months without me knowing anything. When I got a message from the editor of a local magazine that said, I read, my friend sent me this, and she pasted the three-line blur, and she said, I like this. Would you write a 500-word article for my magazine about this? I would really like to publish this. So I did. Don't ask me how. I was felt very intimidated, but it happened. I continued writing my three lines. Maybe I made it to four after that. And Ivan and this guy were reading it. And then another email came. A national magazine read that article. They wanted an article of 1,000 words, double the size for their magazine. I didn't have to bribe anybody to make it happen. You see, faithful in little, I will put you in charge of more. Then we kept going, and I was watching that unfold. Then I got an email from the editor of an international magazine who said, I read this. Would you write a 2,000-word article for my magazine? I needed in 10 days because it has to be translated into every language because I want to put it in my next edition of the magazine that goes all over the planet. The prophecy was unfolding. The impossible was happening. And I was not stressed out of my mind. See, how do I make this happen? Faithful in little. And faithful in the next level. In little, faithful in little in the next level. As it increases, the little becomes bigger. But you keep being faithful in little. And that happened over and over and over. Those magazines and the articles went all over the world being published and all over and in Canada. And then the books came. They got translated. They got written. The first book is in 9 languages. The tenth one is in translation. And it's being used in Bible schools and ministry centers just as God said it wouldn't happen. The prophecy said it wouldn't happen. I have not made any of those things happen. God has stepped in to take it there. I will put you in charge of more. Second book, which is back there, is the first translation has happened. The second one is underway. The third book is coming out at the end of the year. And the fourth one is already starting to form. And the most amazing thing is, I love writing now. I absolutely love writing. The gift that I didn't want, I didn't have, has become part of me. My territory got enlarged. You see, my boundaries expanded. The kingdom advanced and more was added unto me. And, you know, I thought, you know, I had forgotten all about the articles. And then a magazine contacted me a couple of months ago to say, I went to your website. I read your blogs. I want to publish them in my magazine. I want those to be articles in my magazine. I thought, wow, that prophecy is still taking place there. And I am not, you know, trying to force it. In rest and in peace. So what I want to pray right now is for an impartation of these things because it is time to see it all come to pass. God is doing it. There is no reason why you are not walking in the fulfillment or on the journey to the fulfillment of your prophecies. Seeing it unfold. You see, imagine what will happen if you start now being faithful in little in every area God has spoken to you, in every gift that you have received. It's up to you to activate it, and God will empower it. You see, stewardship and the Spirit without measure. Right now, here. And God will do greater things. He wants to add unto you greater things and mantles and impartations and gifts and multitude. There's abundance God wants to bring to you. But this is a requirement. It is very easy. It's really easy. Because you are partnering with the one who has the Spirit without measure. Yes. See, I would still be waiting for something to happen. You know, that prophecy would have never come to pass. If I had been stuck there saying, but how? Who do I talk to? How? How do I get published? How do I get into magazines? How do I? Let that to the one who has the Spirit without measure. To make it happen. My job is to be faithful in little. Amen. That's it. That's what he wants. And he will make it happen. What do you have to offer? That is the portion of the lunch, the little lunch in the feeding of the 5,000. Is your faithful in little. What little bit can you offer and activate in what God has told you to do? It will not look The beginning will never look like the end, I promise you. But you will end up there and it will be quick because there is no time to waste. The kingdom of God is advancing right now. There is a lot to be done. And we need to dust off all our promises, all our prophecies. I just heard the trumpet when I said that. And activate them. You see, faithful in little. It's a lot of fun. It really is fun. A child can do it. It's easy. It's easy. You know, because you will be a great preacher and you are not. That's fine. Start preaching to the hand. But do something. You see, do something. Get that you'll be in the media. Well, maybe get a blog and start. You don't know what God does. Faithful in little people. And you will receive a basket, a multiplication. Amen. So please stand with me. So, dear Father, we thank you. And Father, the main thing I want to do, Father, is for us to come in repentance before you now. Father, we humble ourselves before you in repentance. Father, for living in human perspective most of our lives. And Father, for all our negativity, complaining, and wastefulness. And the disappointments we have gone through of why God is not doing what he said. And why nothing is happening. So Father, right now, we just repent for that. For human perspective. And tonight we want to reset our perspective. As citizens of heaven, Father, we choose to be people of heavenly perspective. So in Jesus' name right now, we come to the foot of the cross because repentance and forgiveness reset everything. So Father, right now, we stand before you for reset and release. It is time for release. I just saw horses running. Reset and release, Father. It is the day of freedom. It is the day of breakthrough. And God is fulfilling promises and prophecies are coming to pass fast these days. Time has accelerated, people. There is no time to waste. And there is a supernatural element of timing. For the Lord says to you tonight, if you have been delayed, I am going to catch you up in time. You will be caught up in time, and you will be in the same place where you would have been if there had not been delays or wastefulness of time. So God is going to supernaturally advance you if you're willing to step into stewardship and activation. So in Jesus' name right now, I just call you forth. I release you in the name of Jesus out of the deadly trap, the human perspective. And I call every promise, every prophecy you have is stuck in that deadly trap. I call it out right now into freedom. I call it back to life and restoration out of the deadly trap of human perspective. In Jesus' name right now. And I call forth release and freedom, new life, new activation. It is a new beginning, and in this season, God is fulfilling everything. I promise you that. I know it. I'm seeing it. It is happening. And it is time. It is time. I said it yesterday. It is now, not tomorrow. We are in the now. God is empowering now. And now, in Jesus' name, I release an impartation through the power of the Holy Spirit that is so strong in this place this week, or always, but so strong here. I release an impartation right now for the gift of a stewardship upon every one of you right now, as it is, as Pastors Ina and Dave have it, and they function in it. But I release an impartation right now for every one of you who is hearing my voice, and those of you who have been functioning in stewardship, I bless you to arise to the next level of a stewardship right now. I call you to the next level of a stewardship and to raise the stewards in the kingdom, to raise the stewardship in the house and in the kingdom at large right now, in the name of Jesus. And I release right now an impartation for the oneness, the unity, the freedom, and the power to walk with the one who has a spirit without measure. I call it I call freedom and release right now. And I ask you, Father, would you increase the power of your spirit here? For it is your will to make it happen. It is God's will to make this happen for every one of you today. God doesn't waste anything. People, he's redeeming, he's restoring. If you want the talents that you have buried, find them again. Call them forth. Remember, if you forgot promises and you have forgot prophecies, ask God to bring them back to remembrance. He will. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will remind you of one. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will remind you of what I have told you. And the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything that you have buried. So in Jesus' name right now, I speak to every buried talent in your lives to come up right now, out of the ground, to come up right now, out of the ditches of forgetfulness, of denial, or whatever. In whichever way the enemy has stolen from you, I call it forth into restoration right now in the name of Jesus. And I call life into it, for it is God's will to restore. He's a redeemer. He's a restorer. And in spite of circumstances that have happened that brought destruction, I bless you right now to arise in Jesus' name. If you didn't, and I break off all frustration. I break off disappointments that you have carried because of not understanding. Not understanding why God has done something or the process. You have not been able to trust the process. So right now in Jesus' name, I call you back to freedom. This is a season of freedom. God is releasing freedom and I call you to freedom right now. In the holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is a time of building and advancing. No more delays, people, no more delays. And I declare a shift in the atmosphere right now for no more delays. And in Jesus' name, with authority given to me, I call forth an impartation of buried talents to be given to you. For you have been faithful in little. As a church, you have been faithful in little. And you qualify in the sight of God to receive the talents that many have buried. Not only in this city, not only in this nation, but God is going to give you talents that in other nations and continents. You are going to collect them and you will redistribute talents in the kingdom. You will put mantles on people. You will release gifts and anointings. You will declare and it will come to pass. You will be atmosphere shifters. Change is going to come because of you. God will send you like loaded camels that will come from afar to other lands. And other lands may be the next village next to you or the next small town or other parts of the world. For the Lord is going to send you out loaded to give. For the Lord says, this is a storehouse for the kingdom. And this church is a storehouse for the kingdom of God. And the Lord is coming to fill this storehouse and out of here to the nations. And the more you release, the more God will increase. For the Lord says to you today, this is the season of the fattened cows. You have been through the testing of just faithful and little, writing and reading. What is the smallest thing we could be faithful in to activated.